Chapter 30. Today's learning is in memory of Chaya Rachel Bas David Tzvi, in the mother's womb. We've discussed the Baal HaBitachon's serene trust that he won't have more or less than he needs to generate the livelihood that is coming to him. This reflects a tremendous surrender of our normal human desire to control our fate. How does a person reach this state? How does he calm his heart and say, I did what I could? Hashem will work it out for me. Chovas HaLevavos gives us a visual image that plugs us into this scene of complete trust. The Baal HaBitachon knows that Hashem will fund his livelihood according to Hashem's will, at the time he wills, and in the place he wills, just as he nourishes the embryo inside the mother. This is an amazing, awesome analogy. We have all been there. As Rabbi Miller says, once upon a time, we were all lying in the hospital with doctors and nurses bustling about, worrying over us. A person may wonder, when was this? I was never in a hospital. Rabbi Miller is referring to the day we were born. Everyone was caring for us, and we were completely oblivious. Rewinding to the 9 months before the birth, we were equally oblivious to how we were being sustained for all that time. We never realized that everything we needed to develop from a tiny cell into a living, breathing infant was being supplied to us in perfect measure. This isn't an exception. It's the way Hashem cares for us every day of our lives. Yes, it all set up, all arranged for us. Nevertheless, people worry. Someone starts a new business and wonders, how will I ever build up the clientele? I can't afford to advertise. Then he meets someone who needs his product, buys it, and spreads the word. Suddenly, the seemingly insurmountable obstacle vanishes into thin air. Rabbi Elimelech Biderman tells us a classic story about this idea. There was a locksmith who moved to a new neighborhood and couldn't find a job. He had been out of work for a month when someone called him one day, saying that he had found his wallet. The locksmith was confused because his wallet wasn't missing. The man insisted he'd found it and said he would come by to return it when he was in the neighborhood. Shortly thereafter, the man showed up with what turned out to be an old wallet that the locksmith had given his little son, filled with old, expired credit cards and business cards. The locksmith laughed and explained. The finder noticed the business cards and asked him if he was indeed a locksmith. It turned out that the finder of the wallet was in construction and needed a locksmith. The man set the locksmith up in business. Let's return to the image of the embryo in the womb and look at some of the startling details of its existence. He can't eat with his mouth or breathe with his lungs. He can't cry to bring attention to his needs. And yet, he not only survives, he not only has every need tended to perfectly, but he undergoes an amazing, intricate metamorphosis. How? God takes care of the embryo in the womb. The mother's blood carries oxygen and nutrients, which are passed along to him. He gets the purest food, oxygen, vitamins, everything. He doesn't have to do anything at all to receive all this. God's method of sustaining the embryo once inspired me with an idea. When people's lungs aren't working, rather than putting them on a respirator, why can't they receive pre-oxygenated blood through an IV? When someone's digestive system isn't working, why can't they receive nutrient-enriched blood to fulfill their needs? Obviously, science cannot yet do what God has been doing since day one of creation. Through the image of the embryo, Chovas HaLevavos is urging us to remember, once you are completely dependent, unable to take a breath of air or bite of food to save your life, but I gave you everything you needed. That's what I do. When you picture that safe, secure, utterly cared for existence and realize that we are still living it, we can put aside our worries. I think we can look back at this chapter and reflect on a very simple idea. We are still, even once born, referred to as children of Hashem. Perhaps in a way it means on a regular basis, but perhaps in a way it's referring to this concept, that the same way the mother births a child, Hashem is not just organizing and orchestrating us to be alive, but he's still in a way carrying us in his, so to speak, womb. We are still in that state of direct sustenance and dependence of Hashem on a very real level. When we realize every breath we take is directly from him, Every moment of life is directly sustained by Him. So then perhaps we can recalibrate our mind. Say, you know what? I don't have to worry. The same way the baby doesn't have to worry. And so we'll realize that we're still very much connected to the source of everything. And He is taking care of everything.